Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Orrin Hatch is calling on President Barack Obama to help move a Trade Promotion Authority bill through the legislative process. Hatch says that TPA is essential for ongoing negotiations for the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership agreements, because without it, U.S. trading partners will not put their best offers on the table. But currently, it appears unlikely that the president will have a great deal of success in convincing members of his own party to support either TPA or the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. European Union leaders have agreed on a plan that would likely keep the bloc's broad economic sanctions on Russia in place until the end of the year. The 28 EU leaders tied the sanctions to Ukraine's regaining control of its borders by December 31st, as agreed in a recent ceasefire deal reached in Belarus. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 17,995, up 110 points. The NASDAQ 4455 is up 33. The S&P 500 is 2,095, and it is up almost 14 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Dave. Indeed, it is a wonderful Friday afternoon. See, I'm already messed up here. It's Friday morning. Anyway, I definitely need to have a little weekend break here. Looks like the temperatures across the region this morning running mostly in the 30s across a big part of the region. Some 40s are occurring down in some of the southernmost parts of the region. We do have a lot of fog out there again this morning in the southern parts of the Midwest, indicative of some contrast in air mass temperatures that's likely to evolve as we go forward over this next couple of day period. Now, the temperatures are going to warm up rather nicely across a fair amount of the Midwest as we go forward through these next couple of days, and that will likely bring us some warmer than usual conditions in the west, central, and southern parts of the region. I don't think it's going to reach into the north, unfortunately, for those folks there. Stay cooler bias. But today we'll see highs mostly in the 50s across a big part of the region. There'll be some 60 and some lower 70 degree temperatures out in the western fringes of Corn Belt country from eastern South Dakota and western Iowa down into Missouri and Kansas. But we'll keep all the heat out there, at least for today. Tomorrow we'll push some of that heat, though, through the lower parts of the Midwest and many areas from the southern portions of Illinois, southern Indiana, and southern Ohio down into Kentucky will be in the 60s. And we'll probably see some more 70-degree temperatures in Kansas and parts of Missouri. As we move into the day on Sunday, most of the warmth will continue in the southern parts of the region one last day before colder air moves from north to south across the region. We'll expect the afternoon temperatures on Saturday and Sunday both to be slipping into the 30s and 40s across the northern portions of the Midwest, while there will be some, 60 and some 70-degree temperatures occurring in the southern parts of the region. By the time we get to Monday afternoon, everybody will be cooling down, and Monday and Tuesday both will be a little bit milder days across a big part of the region. Our low temperatures at night will slip back into probably a few teens and 20s across the Great Lakes region, the upper parts of the Midwest, while temperatures in the lower parts of the Midwest will slip as low as some 20s and 30s. Most of the freezes will stay to the north of southern Illinois and parts of Missouri. We'll expect to see some chances for precipitation in the region as we move through this next five-day period, but I am not expecting any major storm system to take place. For the most part, the Midwest is going to be free and clear of major systems for a while. There is one system of interest that will occur in the upper parts of the Midwest. As we move towards the early to middle part of next week, That storm system is promising to bring some needed moisture to Minnesota and the Dakotas, where it's been so dry recently. Even parts of Iowa will have a chance for an increased amount of precipitation as we move from Tuesday into Wednesday. Maybe 2/10 to 6/10 of an inch of moisture will occur across some of these areas, and we'll likely see that being beneficial, at least in the short-term outlook here, where there'll be a little bit more moisture in the ground, a little less worry about the long-term outlook for some of those areas. I'd be real cautious about assuming that this is the start of a long-term trend change, because I think those areas in the northwestern Corn Belt will see a lot more drier bias conditions later this season. And down in the U.S. hard red winter wheat country, we got some decent rain last night across the region from southwest Kansas into central Oklahoma. Some of those areas saw 2/10 to 7/10 of an inch of moisture, some local totals getting up over an inch. It was beneficial for that narrow band, but the rest of hard red winter wheat country still needs a significant amount of additional moisture, and it's not going to come for a while. Early April is the next targeted time period for better precipitation. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather forecast on WILL comes from Busey. Since 1868, they've reinvested in our communities one project at a time, from financial guidance and support to energetic volunteers and committed leaders. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter May wheat, 559, up 8 3/4. July is up 8 at 564. Soft May, 518.5, up 6.5. July, up 5.5 at 521.25. May corn, 377.5, up 4. July, 385.25, up 3 3/4. December, 402.25, up 3.25. May soybeans, 971.5, up 9 3/4. July, 976, up 9.25. And November, 954.25, up 8. May soybean meal, 323.90, up 460. May soybean oil, 3060, down 2. April live cattle, 158.52.5, up 52.5. March feeders, 214.75, up 70. Who would have thought that those kind of numbers would be considered not volatile, but that's the way it is in the market today. April lean hogs, 59.45, up 132.5. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, as the dollar goes this week, so goes commodities, more or less.
I think that's kind of what we're seeing this morning here. I don't know if that's right or not, but I think that's when I look across the board and I see the softs for the most part higher, metals for the most part higher, energy for the most part higher, and the grains and oil seeds. I think you've got to say that there's some reaction to this weaker dollar here this morning that's kind of spurring this, although, you know, long term, I'm not sure that we can, always see that continue.
Do you think that because of the dollar's action, particularly in soybeans, as it impacted soybeans with a fairly significant spike high, it's less pronounced in the corn market, that might help us define the upper end of a potential trading range heading into the quarterly grain stock report?
Yeah, I think we've got definitely that high from Wednesday there. Thursday's trade session that was on Wednesday night. That was definitely going to be a target there on the nearby beans, I think, in the 980 area or so. We've also got some short-term moving averages that are kind of up in that 990 area. That might be, you know, next stop. I think we've got some pretty well-defined support and resistance areas here. We will be turning next week, you know, into looking more towards fundamentals, I believe, with the acreage and stocks report out. We'll be a week away from that. We'll start getting some estimates, start to see some weather come out, you know, looking into the planting season. Probably or possibly seeing some field work next week, or not seeing field work, depending on how the weather goes. That's going to probably have some effect on the markets as well. So I guess I see volatility starting to pick up as we go into next week.
Yeah, I think you can add to that the conditions in the Delta, which still are too wet. And the way it's been told to me, by March 1st, They really need to get at it if they're going to do corn in a serious way.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think we're getting almost in the later stages of that right now. I think we'll look very closely at the state reports that come out next Monday evening, too, as far as planning progress and that, and kind of see what's happening on that side of it, and that'll be important to the market as well.
Quick marketing question, and we'll go probably longer next week with you on this, but do you think we should have orders in the market on the potential of some sort of a one-day pop in either corn or beans for marketing purposes for new crop?
Yes, I do, and I think if you've got a number you want there, you need to have the order in. On Wednesday there, we traded, I think, over 1 second there, we traded about seven or eight different ticks on the soybeans, for example. So, you know, if you want something, I think you just can't hardly react humanly anymore with the computers trading like they are.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. May corn is 377 and a quarter, up 3 3/4. December, 402 and a half, up 3 1/2. May soybeans, 972 and a half, up 10 3/4. November, 955, up 8 3/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It is now 9:01 Central Time.